demanded an urgent and horrifying news story.
I don't know if this is the kind of hard-hitting news you're used to.
Got some good news and I got some bad news.
Now, this could be the big story of the summer. Network is going to be wanting plenty of coverage.
What do you mean, silly? I mean, that's real news.
I got a lot to get to here. Seahawks are hiring Ravens defensive coordinator Mike McDonald as their next head coach. So, there we go. Another domino to fall. And it just goes to show you how great the Ravens were this year. Missed opportunity. Had to throw it out there. He's getting the head coach. Good hire. He got a 6-year contract, according to ESPN. They met with him for a second time on Wednesday, a day after their initial interview in Baltimore. He is 36 years old. He becomes the NFL's youngest head coach and brings to Seattle a reputation as one of the league's brightest defensive minds. Did I say offense? I meant defense. But that defense was, they were elite this year. And they had some really great players, but he really kind of stitched this whole thing together. So he'll be the next head coach for the Seattle Seahawks. Jerry Jones says, no doubt I could work with Bill Belichick. Why is that coming up? You have your coach. According to ESPN, it appears that they're saying it's likely Bill Belichick was not going to be a head coach in the NFL next year. But they're asking Jerry Jones questions about hypotheticals already for the year after next year. He was on something on Yahoo Sports or whatever. This guy, he was in the Senior Bowl. He writes a bunch of things at Yahoo Sports. And he apparently is friends with Jerry Jones and knows him extremely well. He went out and said that, you know, based on whatever conversations and things like that, Jerry Jones feels that he could work with Bill Belichick. Why is that getting out there right now? Like, you kept Mike McCarthy. Do you think Jerry Jones and Bill Belichick could work well together? I mean, this reminds me of a Jerry Jones-Bill Parcells situation where you got two alphas in the room. That would be interesting. I'd be entertaining. Be fun to see how that goes down. They work together?
I think so. I think a Oof. Comment like that makes you wonder, is Belichick considering taking a year off? And they didn't extend McCarthy's contract, so you don't have to worry about buyouts or anything. So I could see that happening next year.
Boy, I could not see it happening. I just think that Jones and Belichick, you know, Belichick wants to have a lot of control. I don't think he loved how Kraft handled the Garoppolo situation. And Jones is still very much hands-on. He's backed away a little bit. But I'm telling you, I'd love to see it. That would be must-see television.
I think Jerry Jones wants to be able to take a step back. And maybe he hasn't had a coach that he can trust with that yet. I don't know if Garrett was the guy. I don't know if McCarthy's the guy.
See, I feel like Garrett was a yes man to him. Who was the coach before Garrett? Oh, who was the coach before Garrett? Blank it out on this, man. Garrett was there for a while. Mike McCarthy.
Wade Phillips?
It was Wade.
And then Bill Parcells before him.
Wow, it was just a couple of coaches ago was Bill Parcells. Wow, that does not seem right.
Wade was only there for 3 seasons.
I remember that now. Yep, I remember that. And that's when he came over to Denver after that, right? And he was the defensive coordinator. Yeah, it'd be interesting to see how that would work. I don't know if Mike McCarthy is like a yes man here, but I don't know. Dixon texting in here. I'll hit this for you. How long is this? Pretty long text, so I apologize. When they say it's a long text, you know it's a long text, Angel. It's on the shot clock thing. So let's go through it. But he's an official, 100% against the shot clock in high school. National study already shows the average time of possession in high school is 22 seconds. Shot clock's not really needed. Plus the cost is tough for schools. Honestly, the biggest thing is having trained people to operate it. They have to make judgment calls on if the ball hit the rim, when to restart, when not to restart. Schools already have trouble finding people to help work at the table. Now it would be even worse. Valid points. I don't know what the you know what? When you put it that way, I'll admit that that would be difficult because I think about some of these small schools. Not everybody's going to be trained in the art of watching the ball closely and seeing if it hit the rim or not. We argue about it sometimes in college and the NBA. Can you imagine at the high school level? It's a good point. It's well taken. So is this a good move by CHASA to their legislators to pass on the shot clock?
I mean, I guess those are good points. Something I didn't really consider, but yeah, I mean, why don't we have technology that has a sensor in the rim that can automatically tell the shot clock, like, hey.
It probably costs too much. You know, it'd be like the headset thing in high school sports. Not every team has that kind of thing. You have to pay. I mean, you have to get a volunteer. Someone, if you didn't get that, some kind of technology, which they, I don't even think the NBA has it, but they surely can get that.
You can't make it. Come on, Elon.
Yeah,
make
come on.
Robots.
Make robot rims.
Automatic shot clock.
Automatic shot clock. Yeah, there. I mean, you think of it on the surface, and it just sounds fairly easy. Like, just start the clock when they get the ball. But, you know, you got to, first, yeah, you got to have somebody donate their time to be there, because they're not, most schools are not paying that person to be there. So they're going to donate. But you're also trusting that that person knows what the hell they're doing. And if they're donating their time, that is a crapshoot. You know, then they got to be able to turn it off and on. If it hits the rim, they forget about it. You got to be diligent, man. I mean, you got to know. I remember times my coach screaming at the flat out clock operator for not starting the clock when the ball was inbounds. Because these are just random people, dude. They're not bringing in CHASA officials. I don't believe. Maybe I'm wrong. To run the actual game clock. These are people that are probably moms and dads and people that love the school and probably maybe even work in the school, and they're the, at least that's how it was where I grew up. It was my friend's mom. You know, like that's the truth. So then it would be your other friend's mom or your, you know, the aunt or that person that just like can't get enough high school sports, so I'm there every night, man. I'll run that clock. I'll run that shot clock. And that would be a problem. But yeah, I don't have that much energy on it, so I guess it's probably fine. Bruce was like against it big time. So I'll ask Bruce. I'll bring up these points tomorrow. I'm going to try to bring Bruce on the show and chat with him about it for a bit. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. Poll question of the day, which I cannot find, you know, reasonable people actually think that this is a bad thing. The NBA making the move this year to give it, to put a 65-game threshold in, you know, for players to be eligible for awards like MVP, Defensive Player of the Year, also all NBA honors. So if you only play 64 games, you're not going to be in consideration for all NBA honors. And this is the biggest no-brainer in the world for me. Like, what is the thing that's wrong with this? So I did a poll question on Twitter, and it's 97.4% say yes, it's good. 2.6%. Some Philly fan got a hold of that one. I mean, seriously. It shouldn't be a heated topic. If you're hurt, you're hurt. That is unfortunate. But that's how it goes. You get hurt, you can't win awards. Maybe you get hurt before the end of the season. Should the championship not count? And the best team in the league has a good player go down and they end up getting bounced in the first round? Should it not count then? Why aren't we debating that topic? We should be debating that topic stronger than we're debating the MVP topic.
So the Warriors didn't really sweep the Nuggets 2 years ago?
No. I mean, if we're gonna give passes for guys to win the MVP, you should give passes for teams then. Like the idea, again, I bring this up, and the reason I say the media is actually fighting this, I brought up Rachel Nichols last week. I've seen a couple of different shows talking about it, how, you know, the threshold needs to be lower, doesn't even need to be one, your numbers are your numbers, like, not even be one. Like, what if you played 10 games at the highest of levels and then you didn't play again? Like, no way. You have to have one. Was there one before? There wasn't one before, was there? It was just common knowledge. Mm-hmm. Like the voters would just go, okay, the dude played 10 games. All right, he's not even in. I'm not voting for that guy. So, but the NBA is saying, no, we're not leaving it up to voters anymore. And we're trying to stop, because we know what motivates players. We know what motivates star players. And that is a chance to win the MVP. Like, if you're a top 10 player in the league, you're thinking every year you might have a shot to be an MVP. And I just think the national media is using this as another thing where it's like, that's not fair. Joker's going to win it. And they're going to use it, Angel. They're going to do this at the end. Joker's going to win another MVP where it wasn't really fair because the best player got hurt. You know that's going to come. You know that's going to happen. So it's just absolutely crazy. Texter here. I won't read your name, but I'll read it. I don't know. I don't know if it's okay. The NCAA and the Big Sky have a similar threshold for games played to be eligible for postseason accolades. Yeah. It's just a no-brainer. What is it? What is it for the Big Sky? I would be curious to know.
They play 18 conference games. Probably.
Just within the conference then? Are you? Okay, yeah. I guess, yeah.
I'd probably guess 12.
But like, the national media is looking at this, and now it's a big debate. If this didn't if Joel Embiid was right there in the thick of it and he'd been playing all year, and it was some other Joe Schmo doing this, if it was Jamal Murray, because he's not even in the MVP discussion, but maybe all NBA honors would be something. We're not talking about that.
It's 17 games you're allowed to miss.
That's a lot of games that you get to not play. Mm-hmm. And honestly, I don't like the whole... Malone tried this with Joker, but Joker must have fought him on this. Wasn't it last year where Malone said that they'd already picked out the games that he wasn't going to play? Mm-hmm. And it was like five, right?
And I mean,
they're not doing that anymore.
We've never really seen it for the Nuggets. You know, we don't see guys resting games, load management games.
It's just not their style. I think Malone like toyed with it with Joker for a second, and I think Joker's like, are you kidding me? With
no,
this,
like we know he gets upset when he has to sit out the last 3-4 games because they're getting ready for the playoffs.
Yeah, dude, that guy, he's there to play basketball. He said it about Giannis the other night too. Like, what I love about Giannis, one of the things is he wants to play every game. And was that a direct dig at Joel Embiid? I don't know. And now you got Sixers fans like, Embiid didn't play Saturday. Nuggets fans freaked out, so he felt pressure to play. Now he's hurt. So the Nuggets fans are the reason?
It's the fact that the NBA is breathing down your throats trying to say what happened on Saturday that this guy was fine, not on the injury report, and then he's suddenly out with knee soreness? Soreness doesn't just pop up in 15 minutes after warm-ups.
I don't know.
Maybe he doesn't need to play, then you have to put him on the injury report.
Yeah, I don't like the way that was handled. The way that was handled was absurd. You know, hey, he's going to play, and then you find out right before he's not. That changes your game plan, for better or worse. Yeah, Joel Embiid not playing for the Sixers certainly makes them worse, but still, you're game planning for a certain guy, and then he's not there, and that does change, and that's also why I think Philadelphia kept it close.
I'm looking at the NBA MVP odds right now. Embiid is now in fifth. Then it's Giannis in fourth, Luka in third, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander in second, and Nikola Jokic at -120. And it's still February. It's going to be February, but tonight's game against OKC is a big deal of the MVP race.
It's a big deal. I'm excited about this game.
If Jokic can go into SGA's house and beat him one-on-one, there you go. Although Jokic is listed as questionable with lower back pain.
Soreness.
Yes. Something.
We'll
I'm
get
more
that
concerned
right
about his
the
eyeball
game.
Right now because I don't know if his eye is completely healthy.
Yeah, poked in the eye the other night. 6 o'clock game.
Love it.
Yeah. Yeah, you get to watch it, Angel.
Watch the entire thing.
Stay up. You don't even have to be in your onesie before you go, man. You don't do the onesie anymore. This is a Tanner thing, you know.
Yeah, but I don't have a cow onesie, so no. With the little hood that has horns on it and a little bell.
I used to give him so much crap because he's like, I got to go to bed early. I'm like, you get in your little onesie and
Did
watch
he tell
your
you
cow
what time
film.
You went to bed yesterday?
He said he went to bed at like 8.
Mm-hmm.
Good for him, though, man. Like, go to bed early, get up early. I'm all into that. I just can't go to bed early. That's my problem. I can't shut off. I'm watching CSU San Diego State last night. And then, you know, I'm tweeting back and forth about some things, planning out the show for tomorrow. And then I'm like, well, now I'm wide awake. Is there anything on? And then I'm scrolling. Oh, wow, Golden State's up 2 over Philly at halftime. Let's watch that game. And then now I'm invested. And then I look down at the clock, and it's like 10:45. And then you got to force sleep. Come on, go to sleep. You know, and it's then if it's close and it goes to overtime, you're screwed. I'm still invested. I am not one of those guys. I cannot stop watching a game. If it's close and I started watching it, I can't go away. I have, even if it's like an out of market team, I have to stay on it. It's a completion thing. I'm like Morgan in The Walking Dead. I need to clear this game from my life and watch the full thing. If it's like 20 point game. Even a 10-point game with like 4 minutes left, I'm still got to see what's happening.
All right,
I'll
see the highlights on Twitter.
You know, I think the more I've done this show too, the worse it's getting, because it used to be like that's the job. Okay, I need to know what Wyoming's doing. I need to know what they're up to. I need to know what, you know, the Raiders are doing on games. You know, the things like that. But then you just get to the point where it's like, I realized I don't watch movies anymore. I don't watch television shows anymore. All I do is sports, and I love it, but it is killing me deep down. 22 minutes after the hour, Lemons Heating and Cooling, HVAC contractor here in Greeley. They got free estimates available for you. Check them out at lemonsheatingandcooling.com. It's the whole show powered by Chevron. We do have Wyoming head basketball coach Jeff Linder going to join us at 12:30, so we are looking forward to that. They get a nice win over Air Force to follow up the emotional overtime win over their rivals in Colorado State. So two big ones, two rival games. I don't know, does Wyoming consider Air Force a rival? Kind of, maybe, semi? Well, they beat them. That's all you need to know. We'll be right back.
Basketball is here, and Bruce is having a ball. Listen to Coach Bruce Dick on Coach Speak. Weekdays at 10 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, everybody. This is former CSU running back Kyle Bell, and you are listening to my main man, Brady Hull, on The Hull Show. Do not turn your dial. Keep it right here.
Yeah, Aaron says it here on the text line. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. I see way more media articles complaining about the NBA 65-game rule than praising it, and that's what concerns me the most. And that's what, like, is ridiculous. What is your reasoning behind it? You know, you're just telling me, well, a guy can dominate for 65 games. What is it, 75% or whatever? What's the percentage of that?
65 of 82 is 80%.
Oh, you're so smart, Angel. This is why you're here.
Google. It's actually 79.2.
I was close, though. You know, ballpark.
It's right there.
It's right there.
If you were asking a teacher, can you round up my 79.2, probably say no because it's not 5. You're stuck with a C+.
I like that you brought that up, though. It's a C+. You got a C+ in attendance. You know, and that
we're here most of the time, but I barely know you.
That knocks your grade down.
You went to a college class 80% of the time and asked the professor, can I have extra credit at the end of the year? Who are you?
When I was going to school, if I could have got 80% my freshman year, I would feel like a king. It did not happen that way.
Class isn't that hard. Just go to class.
I mean, Angel, sometimes you just didn't want to go. Right?
Sure.
You know?
I had plenty of classes I didn't want to go to, except bowling. Bowling I wanted to go to.
I will say that my second stint, because everybody knows now that I did go back to college. It was like did you not know that? I graduated from UNC at the age of 30.
What?
I went to UNC.
Wait, what year?
Oh, it was a couple years before you, maybe. Were we in the same class?
Year?
Were we sitting grade? Honestly, it was I finished a year before my son was born, which was 2018. Oh. So 2016 or 17.
Oh, okay. I was still in high school.
Yeah, you weren't here.
I started fall 2017.
You probably started shortly. Yeah, so then shortly after that.
Tanner and I might have been in school at some point, but I don't know where that.
I'm trying to think
over.
Of when Tanner was done. Was I going back? But so my story was this. I went to UNC. My first semester, awesome. Second semester, I met friends. Not so good. You know, not like they were a bad crowd. It was like, you know, do you want to...
Half of them are in jail.
Do you want to... Yeah, I was a part of a gang here in Greeley. Do you want to have... do you want to finish playing Madden or should we go to class? And then that turned into, should we skip the... And I don't advise it. Stupid, 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 bad things. So I wasn't the best. I wasn't awful yet, but... Then my sister comes to me and she's like, well, you always talk about radio. And I think UNC's got a good media plan and all that stuff. But she was reading something and she goes, Ames Community College, which I do stand by this. I think community college gets a bad rap sometimes. And basically gave me this pamphlet on all the radio stuff that they had. And the pictures were a little misleading, I'll admit. Now it's bang, it's freaking awesome over there. But when I said, you know what? I'm going to take a break from UNC. I'll probably go back. I loved UNC. It was nothing against them. So I went to Ames, I got my associate's degree. During that time, I got an internship at KFKA, and I just kept going, and I was still going to school, kept moving up, and then finally I was like, I could just work full-time rather than go back, because I want to be in radio. This is what I want to do, so I'm already doing it. So did that, I get to be like 28, and my wife and I are talking, and she's like, you know, we're thinking about having a kid and all that stuff, and taking the next step. And I don't know how it came up, but we were looking at my old transcripts, and she's like, you realize you only need 30 credits to graduate? And I was like, really? I didn't, because all of it transferred from, most of it transferred from the community college. So she said, what do you think? And I was like, you know what? Let's just do it. So I went back to UNC, and it was weird. I was usually dressed in slacks and stuff from work because I was purely sales. So I would go to all these labs and all that stuff, dress nice, and all these guys are in sweatpants and stuff. I envied them so much.
See, I stopped doing that after my first 2 years.
Oh, man, I would if I could go back, I'd be in sweats all the time.
If I left my apartment in sweats, I'd be like, what am I doing?
Yeah, I crave a world where I live in, where that's all I'm in.
Unless it was like my soccer coaching class, then I could show up in sweats.
I would love to go back to that. But my point is, Angel, when you go back the second time around, you don't miss class. I mean, I paid for a lot of my early college anyway. My mom and dad helped me a little bit, but a lot of it was me. But still, something about when you're older, you take things, you got more bills, and you're like, okay, I'm paying for this. I am going. And I listened better. I paid more attention. So
did you sit at the front?
I sit at the front. And I remember
did that every class through my 5 years.
I remember joking, like, I'm in there in the front of this giant lab, and I'm like, I am the oldest guy here. Pretty soon, this dude comes down, and I swear, he looks like Gandalf the Grey walking down the steps. And I'm like, oh, that's the professor. He's Beardy Magoo. Nope. Sits down right next to me. And he's a student, too. And I'm like,
you have a
boom.
Pencil I could borrow?
I'm the young guy. And he's pulling out his, like, calculator and... You know, he doesn't even have a computer
his
or anything like
notepad.
That. His yellow notepad and his number two pencil, you know? I mean, it was
that
awesome.
He sharpens with a knife.
And I was like, dude, I'm not the young guy, or I'm not the old guy anymore. So I felt like a spring chicken in that class. It was great. 33 minutes after the hour. I tell you what, when we come back, we're going to catch up with the Wyoming men's basketball coach, Jeff Linder. Love that guy. Let's catch up with him soon. But first, let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
Hi, this is Jesse Kurtz, executive producer and lead anchor of the Mountain West Network. And you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Nice night in basketball for a Tuesday night. The Wyoming Cowboys take care of business against the Air Force Falcons last night, 83-72. I thought that was important. It's always important to win, but to follow up the emotional overtime win over Colorado State was significant, I believe. Joining me now, head coach of the Wyoming Cowboys, the man himself, Jeff Linder. Coach, apologies, my friend. It's been too long. Thank you so much for giving us some time today.
Yeah, it must be, you know, cross over on enemy lines and make your way down into Colorado. I mean, amazing when you're there how everybody loves you, and then as soon as you make your way up north, you're forgotten about.
I got to be careful here. I have safety to worry about, Coach. I mean, you know, we talk a little bit of everything here, but, you know, when I started talking more Cowboys, I got to admit, people were coming at me, but I don't care anymore. I love watching you coach basketball, Coach, and I'm not afraid to admit it.
Well, I appreciate that. I mean, there's some days where I wonder what I'm doing, but I got a good group of guys, and you know, they're fun to coach every day, and I think we're starting to kind of see this group kind of really come together, and obviously early on, I mean, we didn't have Mason Walters for the first 10-11 games of the season, and he's an integral part of what we do. You lose Kenny Foster to an Achilles injury, and so with a brand new team, basically, and then trying to put all the pieces together with injuries, it took us a little while to kind of get everything in sync. But I think right now, I mean, we're trending in the right direction, and that's all you can hope for right now.
Walters with a nice game, 22 points, 7 boards last night, caught with 20. You know, Wenzel gets 25. I mean, these guys, and I got to be honest with you, Coach, at the beginning of the season, I'm bringing on probably a good friend of yours, Cody Tucker. I bring him on weekly, and I'm asking him about all these guys, and we're getting to know him. And I'm just so impressed with what you and your coaching staff have been able to do, because I know last year and losing some of those guys, and we've got the transfer portal world that we're in, I'm looking from the outside in going, how do you recharge? How do you do that in this day and age? And here you guys are. I mean, you're putting together a nice season. And I think, you know, don't take this the wrong way. There's a lot of people maybe that aren't following the program closely enough that are somewhat surprised.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, based off of kind of what transpired, you know, last year, and then losing those guys, but you know, that's not the beauty of college basketball, but the reality of college basketball, where really you have your roster for 1 year, and you just hope that you can maximize your roster to the best of its ability. I mean, look at Steve over there at Northern Colorado when you lose Kinect and Koontz and Johnson, and you know, you're coming off a tough year, and now you kind of have to figure out a way to put the new roster together, and they did a great job, you know, adding Saint and Little Really, who I can call Little Really because I've known him since, you know, he's about 8 years old when I was an assistant back in Boise in 2010-16 with his dad, John Really, who's a dear friend, and, you know, and look what they've been able to do. And so I think it really what it boils down to in this day and age is just can you find a way to find good kids that like basketball, which you would think would be like a prerequisite, but there's a lot of kids that really don't. You know, when you have to, when it becomes a job, and that's what college basketball is, and when you have to show up every day and try to put your best foot forward and actually like to play basketball, and that's kind of what I have this year. And so that's when you're able to get better. And in college basketball right now, I mean, there's just a lot of teams with mercenaries, and you know, it's hard. And so, you know, I think that's why you see a lot of the upsets that you're seeing. And that's also too why I knew Colorado State was going to bounce back against San Diego State, because when you play teams, you know what the character of the team is. And you know, obviously Colorado State being the bitter rival, but at the same time too have a lot of respect for what those guys do, what Coach Nico does, and you knew that, you know, I knew they were going to come back and win that game last night just because, you know, the character of that team. And so that's ultimately what you got to find, regardless of what day and age it is. You've got to find high character kids who like to play basketball, and that's what we have.
Coach, interestingly enough, we had Jaron Really on the program earlier today, and he dropped a reference about you too. So we're all about full circle on this program, Coach.
No, and that's where, I mean, his dad and I talk almost every day via WhatsApp, who's, you know, the coach of the Perth Wildcats, who are sitting in second place in the NBL. And Jaron, a lot like his dad, is a, you know, was a late bloomer. I mean, he's a guy that had to go to prep school for a year and probably didn't hit puberty until he was about 18 years old. like his dad, when his dad left Australia back in the day, he was about 5'7", and lo and behold, his dad was 6'4", and played in the Olympics and played you know, played professional basketball, was a really good player for a long time. And so I'm just happy to see Jaron having the success that he's having.
Well, and you know me, Coach, a little bit. I'm a little slower than most, and so at the scrimmage this year watching for UNC, I'm looking, I'm going, oh, Sydney, Australia. And then you talk to him, and I'm like, wait a minute, man. You are not an Australian. You don't sound, but he left when he was in fourth grade. So I put the pieces together, believe it or not. It just took me some time. But
yeah, and his mom, and Heidi's American, so I guess he just kind of decides what works best, and probably the fact that he can claim being Australian that just helps his cause when he wants to go back and play pro ball when he's done playing in college in Australia.
Yeah, no question about it. Wyoming coach, head coach joining us, Jeff Linder. Hey, Coach, I'm always pulling for you. But I got to admit, I'm pulling for you in a big way last night, because you and I had talked and we scheduled the interview, and I was like, I really want to make this interview happen. So I'm hoping that the Cowboys pull this thing out. You guys are down 2 at the half, and then it just seemed like you started to really take control. You outscored the Falcons 49-36. What is it about the second half for you guys, at least the last two games, or even the last 11 or the last 1 minute of games? You guys just something starts clicking and you keep rolling downhill.
Well, I mean, I'm not sure if that was the case on Saturday up until the last minute of that game against CSU. I mean, we missed a lot of open shots, a lot of layups, and a lot of free throws that allowed CSU to create that 9-point lead or 11-point lead or whatever it was with the minute left. And last night against Air Force, which, coming off such an emotional win against CSU, really an improbable win, I call it the miracle 17-20. For us to go down to one of the tougher places to play in the league, just regardless, at Air Force, which, now you have to, on a one-day prep, try to figure out how you're going to guard the Princeton, how you're going to deal with the matchup zone. And we decided, hey, we're not going to mess around with the Princeton. We're just not going to guard a couple guys. And, we decided not to guard one guy, and he ends up making 9 threes. But you lost that battle, but you end up winning the war because of it. And so, for us to kind of make that quick turnaround and off such an emotional win for our guys, I mean, it was a really good win because we hadn't shown yet that we can win on the road. I mean, that was our first road win, even though we've had some really hard road games. I mean, the first three that we've had in league at New Mexico, Utah State, and San Diego State, having played at BYU, played at Texas, UTEP. It wasn't like we've been playing road games against slouches. I mean, we've been playing against top 25 teams. And so for our guys to kind of get over that next hump, for us to kind of really start being considered in the Mountain West, I mean, you have to find a way to win some games on the road. And thankfully, we found a way last night, and hopefully that'll help springboard us as we make our way to UNLV on Saturday.
Coach, I know the obvious answers to this. Obviously, winning on the road is difficult, the crowd noise, all that, different environment. But this year in particular, that has been the thing we've all, if we're Mountain West fans, if you're coaches in the league, if you're players, we've all been saying it, we've been harping on it. Like, you got to take care of business at home. You got to find ways to steal one or two or three on the road. Why is it? Is it just this league is the best it's ever been? Because it just, every single team saying the exact same thing, finding a way to win on the road.
Well, I mean, I think there's a lot. I mean, not to say parity, but I mean, just from top to bottom, the talent in the league. And then it's also a really good coaches league, which, you would think that, hey, every league, yeah, there's good coaches. But, I mean, as coaches, we know, I mean, there might be one or two teams where, I mean, they might be dysfunctional. They might not be that great. They might not be coached great. And so, that's the reality of it. But that in our league, I mean, that's not the case. I mean, you got really good coaches. You got really good players who are also smart players. I mean, that's the intelligence level of our league. And I think that's why, that you see so many teams that are projected in the NCAA tournaments because how well we've done in the non-con. But a lot of that has to do just with the intelligence of the teams in this league. I mean, teams aren't going to beat themselves. You got to go and beat them. And then now you add such great home court environments. I mean, the Pitt, Utah State, everywhere in our league. I mean, it's just, you're playing in front of, I mean, our first three games on the road were played, in front of sellouts. And so, I mean, that home court advantage just plays a huge role, which you look at the Pac-12 and you don't nearly have those type of environments in the Pac-12. And that's what's allowed our league to kind of take that next step and be maybe, in probably most ways, the best league in the Western United States.
And you guys have a crazy environment there in Laramie, no question about it. All right, Coach, if I can take you back, I don't want to go too far back, but we got to talk about that, the miracle. What do we call it, the 72-20 miracle? Is that right, Coach?
You had the miracle on ice. I mean, so, the miracle 72-20.
I mean, okay. What was it? 120? Is it 120 left and you're down 11 at this stage? Be honest with me, Coach. The confidence level. Did you really look at that and go, oh, yeah, we're winning this. No doubt.
No. I mean, I saw people, I saw fans starting to leave, and I was like, I can't blame them. I mean, I was, and especially with the team is experienced and as mature as Colorado State, and when you got Isaiah Stevens, I mean, you're like, okay, well, how are you going to find a way to do this? And you know, when we cut it to 9 with 51 seconds left, and then really, I mean, everything that could have gone wrong for them went wrong, and everything that could have went right for us went right. I mean, it was just like the perfect storm, and you really couldn't even draw it up. I mean, a lot of times when you're trying to miss a free throw to get an offensive rebound, I mean, you never get that. And we sat there and we got it twice, you know, back to back, and then having the ability to make shots late. And that's kind of the beauty of my team with, you know, the guards that I have with Sam Griffin and Qualcott, is that they don't care what the score is. I mean, they're still going to shoot. And, you know, we just found ways to kind of make some shots. And I think deep down, they probably still didn't feel like, hey, you know, we're still going to win this game based off of just the experiences that they've had. And so it was, you know, Isaiah, where maybe he got rid of the ball to Jalen Lake there. You know, maybe he keeps it if the game's a little bit closer to where now you're fouling him. And not to say, I mean, Jalen Lake's a really good shooter, but now it's a little different when he's going to the foul line as opposed to Isaiah Stevens. And I think you just kind of maybe just relax just a little bit, and then momentum, you know, takes over, and momentum's a crazy thing, and that's just kind of what happened.
Oh, it was incredible. It was absolutely insane. And that, maybe that's the kind of win that can really give you that confidence when you're down. You feel like you can, you know, you can make those epic comebacks. And you guys have just been a lot of fun. You're picking it up. I mean, getting the win over Fresno State, Nevada, the CSU game, Air Force. And I know you got UNLV coming up. Tough task there in UNLV. And that one's going to be on CBS Sports Network, too. So we'll get an opportunity to check that out. Coach, always appreciate it, and I promise I would love to get you back on the show. I love having you on, and you know, you're just a joy to talk to. You're a joy to follow. Keep up the great work, my friend.
Well, I appreciate that, Brady. So, like I said, just because I'm up here north, that doesn't mean I'm an enemy.
I know, but like I said, I got a skin to protect here, Coach. I got to be careful,
especially with my youngest son. I mean, playing AAU with Coach Dick now too, so I mean you got to give me some, you know, cut me some slack.
I mean, Bruce was just, I said, hey, Coach Linder's coming on the show later, and he's like, oh my gosh, did I tell you? And so yeah, I mean, he's pumped. He's like glowing when he's talking about it, Coach.
Yeah, no, I'm excited. I'm excited to have the Hall of Famer coaching my son.
Well, we appreciate you, Coach. And you know, when the season's over, let me buy you an iced tea at some point. I would love to do that.
No, hey, at any point in time. So keep doing a great job, and we'll look forward to talking to you sometime soon.
I appreciate it. Good luck against UNLV this weekend, Coach.
Thanks, Brady.
All right, there's Jeff Linder, Wyoming head coach. He used to be the UNC head coach. We had him on regularly, Angel. I didn't have to take my life into my own hands. Now I do. You know, I bring him on, and you get the CSU folks, and they're like, what are you doing with that guy? But, you know.
Does Tanner have to escort you to your car after work?
He does, actually. He's waiting out there because, you know, those are his kind of folk, too, the Wyoming folk. He can. I don't need protection there. Like, I'm one of them when I go there. But, like, CSU fans are like, hey, what are you doing, man?
This Brady guy on the radio.
Cheating on us. And I'm like, hey, bro, listen to me. Listen to me, CSU, all right? If Nico Medved can go do shows in Denver, Then we can branch out too. You know, this is you know, we're seeing other people. 12:51 the time. Let's wrap up hour number two. I've got buy or sell coming up in the 1 o'clock hour. We'll be right back.
Football season is over.
It's all over.
But college basketball is heating up. Hear UNC Bears Hoops and Westwood One's coverage of college basketball on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Warren Jackson, former CSU wide receiver, current NFL wide receiver for the Los Angeles Rams, and you're listening to the whole show on KFK.
Okay, we have movement in our 65-game threshold here. No Joker tonight, Angel? Throw the MVP away. Yeah, that's it for him.
This is coming from Katie Wingy of Altitude. Nikola Jokic is out tonight against OKC with low back pain.
How many games has he missed? Just do some math. Let's see. How many games have there been at this point?
At least 50.
So, he's played in a lot of games.
I don't want to go through it. You could probably just find it. It's probably in his stats, isn't it?
47.
So there's been how many games?
Mm-mm-mm-mm-mm.
48. Oh, so he's missed one?
Yes.
Still, man. You start missing one, it's a slippery slope.
It's only 15 now. Like, ugh, you only have 15 games to miss, Jokic.
Yeah.
Ugh, scary times.
Do you think that he's like, you know what, I could take the foot off the gas here?
MVP mine. I'm going to watch horse race.
I would rather watch horse race, yes. So he's out tonight. What are we going to do now?
Brady, there's more players on the team.
I'm so sorry, man. Is Jamal, like anybody else hurt?
Not that I'm seeing. Jokic was the only one. Strother's still out with magic illness. I don't know. But for the OKC, Jalen Williams and Isaiah Joe are also out.
Oh, crap. For OKC. What do you think? Nuggets win tonight still? Nuggets get this thing done?
Kind of have to now.
You got to prove it.
Murray Flurry night. MPJ action tonight.
OKC 5.5-point favorites tonight.
Yes.
You go on the win? Go the win? Woo.
Yeah.
Let's go. All right. Buy or sell. Coming up next.